Hey, this is Lawrence with another quick introduction. This is a bonus episode. It was recorded in 2016, so a lot of things we say in it are quite out of date. It was intended to be a full episode, but while listening to it, I realized I was going to have to cut it all to shit to make something that anyone but me would care about. So enjoy it as a supplement to our full episode number 3, which had such horrible tech issues. Thanks for listening, and I hope you enjoyed this bonus episode of Bad Time Radio. My name is Lawrence Allen.
I'm Ronald Shaw.
I'm Rahul Vora.
And this is Bad Time Radio. Okay, so this is our 4th episode. A little bit of a change up here. Last week we had a Ronald-only episode. This time, Ronald isn't here, but we've got our friend Brandon here instead. He's our old high school friend, and we thought, hey, maybe he'd like to sit in on an episode. He may not be talking as much as us, because it's pretty hard to talk as much as us, frankly, but I'm sure he'll do great. And so let's start by going around the room and giving a brief, really spoiler-free recommendation. I forgot. Okay, the episode is it's from The Man in Black, season 2, I think. It's called Fish Food, with both fish and food spelled with a PH instead of an initial F. And it's about a man who runs afoul of a supernatural entity on the internet. So, Brandon, would you recommend this that people check this episode out?
Yes.
Okay. How about you, Raul?
I would not, no. I thought it was... I feel like it lacked any reason for ever being made.
And I'm going to... By way of my recommendation, I'm going to tell a little story. So I was driving my cousin and her then-boyfriend, who was an absolute prick, to Acoma Pueblo. And on the way back, I was playing them a couple of episodes of various old-time radio shows I had on my podcast. Or on my iPod. And I thought this one would be a fun one to play to them because the ending was so crazy. So I was playing it and playing it and playing it, and they're getting boreder and boreder. Eventually I pause and I'm like, look, guys, I know that this is really boring, but look, the ending, you're not going to guess it, and it's really crazy. At which point, my cousin's boyfriend instantly said, you know, here's the ending. And I'm like, oh, shit. So I thought... I guess maybe check it out, but I think the most of the enjoyment I derived from it was derived from the fact that I didn't see the ending coming, and apparently it's pretty easy to spot the ending, so I don't know. I'm giving this a rare
I didn't spot the ending, but I don't think it was worth it.
I didn't spot the ending either, but I thought it was kind of interesting for other reasons.
Yeah,
personal reasons.
It is less boring than the other ones we've listened to.
That is true.
It's only 30 minutes and it moves fast. So
definitely
less
incoherent, yeah. Which is, you know, so anyways, easy to do.
Yeah, a little bit of background on the series. This is from The Man in Black, which is Mark Gatiss, who you will know as Mycroft Holmes from the Sherlock Holmes series. And he's
Who is he?
Mycroft Holmes.
No, I know, but in the
he's the man in black. He's the guy who does the announcement.
What announcement?
At the start and the end, the little...
Oh, really?
Yeah. Hmm. And it's a revival of an 80s and early 90s series called Fear on 4, which I previously recommended. I think it's sort of the best BBC radio horror series there ever was, which in turn was a revival of a 50s show called Appointment with Fear, which I've heard a couple of episodes of and are dire. The Man in Black has 2 good episodes, The White Hair and The Tower, I think the second one is called, and the rest are kind of garbage. Or not garbage, they're entertaining but flawed. I don't think you should check out the rest of the series really unless you're really hard up. Anyways, with my background information out of the way, let's go ahead and roll for the plot summary. Now, Brandon, do you want to be in on possibly having to summarize the plot?
No.
Okay, so it's just me and Raul. And I'm really hoping Raul gets it because I think I've had to do the last 2, so.
Noob.
I will be 1, 2, and 3. Raul will be 4, 5, and 6, and we'll see who gets it. And again, I'm hoping for Raul because I'm really curious what a summary from him looks like.
Actually, I'll be 7. I'll consider it.
I should point out we're using a D6.
That was very gracious of you.
So if somehow...
D7 through 100.
So if somehow...
Yeah, also the D100.
Yeah, if somehow the die fails to land on a side, which is like a 1 in a billion chance or something, Brandon will summarize. Okay. God. Okay.
Noob.
It's a 2, so it's me.
As usual,
where's
Lawrence
your modifier
fucked it
now?
Up. Yeah, where's your modifier? Probably negative, isn't it? Make an int roll.
What? You would use a d20 for that, you fool! Okay, so the episode starts with a fellow named Jim, who's just gotten a new computer.
What's his last name?
I don't know.
Morrison.
Yes,
it may as well be.
It turns out that Jim Morrison, famed band leader of the Doors. Yes, that's what I call the like singer of a band, the band leader,
band president, red leader.
Okay, welcome.
Lock X-Flow wings in a dick position, or I don't know.
Welcome to
that
our
totally off track.
Welcome to our first bonus episode deemed unreleasable except to hardcore fans. Anyways.
We got a few of those, right?
I guess. So, this guy, Jim, he's got a new computer. His niece by his dead wife, like his dead wife's sister's daughter.
Second cousin. Twice
removed.
I mean, the exact the exact relationship is not important.
That's fair.
That's for him to decide.
I am the master of the pod. But anyway, so his daughter, his niece has set him up with this new computer. She hooks him up with a free internet or free email account, I guess. Although it's from like this crazy. I mean, they're not allowed to say Google, but it still is from like something with triple Z's at the end, or triple Z as they say, because they're British. And he immediately gets a spam message, and his niece is like, "Hey, don't click that. It's spam." And he opens it because he's an idiot.
Dumb.
Yeah, that is one of the themes of this episode, is that Jim is very stupid. And it's apparently a porn, which...
Was that the first one he got?
I think so. It's from, well, the first interesting one, at least. He gets one where they're like, "Hey, upgrade your service." And then he gets one from Ludmilla, which is a Russian woman.
And he was like, "Damn, she is flexible."
Yeah, so apparently she's doing some sex stuff. Although, I mean, I don't open spam and haven't in a long time. I don't think it just is straight up porn.
I haven't checked spam in a long time, personally.
Yeah, I only ever read spam when there was no... direct to spam box.
Yeah. I mean, whatever.
Weird.
So, he's...
Spam filters are pretty good now.
Yeah, they really are. I mean, I'm unaware of spam, frankly. So, anyways, he clicks Ludmilla. This is where we find out that they're going to present typing back and forth, I think, as just him talking, and then the person talking, and Ludmilla has this, very... fake Russian sexy woman accent.
She sounds like she sounds
accent.
Like in Archer. What's her face?
Katya.
Yeah.
Yes.
Only faker, obviously.
Yes.
A
faker.
Lot faker. Just
Ludmilla.
Very Natasha Bad
from Lubyanka.
So he's got this computer. He's getting spam, and he's like, "I'm really smart. I'm not gonna fall for any spam." And he makes this comment about how he's going to strafe the internet. And then his niece is like, "Don't you mean surf?" And he's like, "Not the way I do it."
Because he's very confident in his abilities.
Which is not borne out by his abilities at all.
Also, I believe that Lawrence at this point has semen on his pants.
No.
I just want to point that out for our dear viewers.
It is mud. Although...
muddy semen.
I am very... I frankly think... I mean... Now, here's the pant. If I actually had produced that much semen, it would be very impressive, wouldn't it not? Like, I'd be one of the most fertile men who ever lived.
Or you just have a testicle problem. That's probably more likely, I mean.
Man, there's so much I'm going to have to cut this episode.
Why would you cut that?
Because you're suggesting that
I'm a national secret?
Yeah, exactly.
Also, it's on my lower pant leg, So I think Raul is implying that I've got a dick that's a good 2 feet long.
You put those words in your own mouth. I would never say such a thing like that.
So well, much like if I had a 2 foot long dick, I could...
Anyway, where are we?
So he's surfing the internet. You know, there's this. Oh, sorry. So the text or the email conversations are presented as him talking, and then the email being voiced by someone. Apparently, it was done by like two or three BBC radio or BBC voice actors. They do an okay job. I mean, they're supposed to be over the top and goofy. So when later on they're like doing an outrageous pirate accent, it, you know, it's a good outrageous pirate accent.
I mean, it's spam, so.
Yeah. Mm. But anyways, he gets an email. He gets the next day, he gets a famous Nigerian email scam. It's very obviously fake. Like, it's not even a good version of it. You know, it's got the whole fractured English and so on. But he decides, because he's a former accountant and his firm did business in Nigeria, that it must be real. So he falls for it and loses a shit ton of money.
Yeah, well, he does check their website and he's like, oh, it looks legit.
But apparently he clicks the link from inside the email, which is a classic stupid person mistake, you know?
Classic. Never click any links. That's the lesson here.
Yeah, in fact, kind of stay off the
internet. Yeah, just don't even go on the internet.
The lesson of this episode is stay the fuck off the internet.
Or just spend all your money and then no one can take anything from you. You have nothing to lose.
Those are your options.
Yeah, those are the only three things you're allowed to do. You can go on the internet but not visit any websites because you can't click links. You can not go on the internet at all, or you can do whatever you want as long as you have no money. So he falls for it. He loses a bunch of money. He goes and complains to people. He can't get his money back, obviously, because it's really hard to get your money back from the Nigerian prince scheme, because like people in Nigeria don't give a fuck. And then so he's like, I'm gonna be much cannier. He keeps calling himself Canny Jimmy. And also he starts commenting on how the only reason he fell for the scam was that he couldn't see the person's eyes. If he thinks that if he'd been able to see the eyes, he could have been like, oh, I would have known this was a scam.
Yeah, he has this weird obsession with looking people in the eyes.
I guess that, I think that's a little bit of an older generation thing, but I've known some people who have that. You know, especially when I was young, I used to get a lot of shit because I wouldn't look people in the eye.
Yeah, I mean, whether or not it's accurate is a different story.
But... yeah, I mean, I was generally telling the truth, but they usually thought I was lying just
really?
Because I wouldn't make eye contact.
I feel like you lie all the time.
Well, now. Back then I was
now that I can make eye contact.
Yeah.
Back, get away with it.
Back then I was convinced that if you look someone in the eye, that if anyone else looked in my eyes, they could read my mind.
Oh, no one wants to read that, Lawrence.
Yeah, that was back when I was like 4, so my mind wasn't just nonstop unspeakable perversion.
I mean, it probably was.
There were intermissions.
You'd see curtains in your mind.
And then a guy would come out and do a little bit of light crowd work while people went
to the bathroom.
Yeah. And bought sodas.
Yeah.
Very important. So anyways, so he vows he's not going to fall for another one. But then, next scene, he gets an email from a Dutch lottery that he did not enter saying that he has won.
Yeah, and he even makes a point. He's like, I never bought this lottery ticket from such and such jurisdiction. Why are they coming to me with this email saying I won this money from this lottery ticket?
Now, the email does say we took data from...
You tell him.
Yeah!
The email does say we took data from, like, all the national lotteries. So I guess it's trying to anticipate that, but it's still really fucking dumb for falling for this. Especially since, like, 5 minutes of Googling, like, Dutch lottery scam is just... It's a scam.
I mean, is that... I mean, like...
It's a commonly known scam.
I mean, but, like, who gets an email about their lottery ticket winnings?
Yeah, and then he goes and opens his bank because they're like, hey, you know, the money's already in your account. We just need a 10% processing fee, which is weird because I'd assume taxes but not a processing fee. You win the lottery.
Well, 10% is gigantic
for a processing fee. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean. Hey, he needs to change banks if they're charging him. But he opens his online account and somehow the money is there. So this is a very dumb scheme. Because apparently the person, like, sets up a fake wire transfer to a random account, then gets that account's email address through somehow, then quickly emails them, and hopefully gets them before the, like, they've caught, hey, that transfer was no good. And then the person gives them the fee,
and somehow they make money.
I was expecting it to be another link to a phishing site, so he tries to log into his bank, then they have his credentials, and they just take money. But it was like he actually went to his bank and then actually did the transfer himself. It was actually kind of...
No, he did. He did. He went to the bank from inside the...
No, he did log into his bank, actually. It's bizarre.
So from separately?
Yeah, he said he opened it in another browser, which means that this scheme... is very impressive from a social engineering hacking type perspective, but also makes no goddamn sense.
No, it doesn't really. Huh, I missed that.
Yeah, so I guess we can't blame him too much for falling for this one because
haunted computer.
Oh, we'll talk about that. Spoiler alert, his computer is apparently possessed by an internet shark. Because there's an introduction where Mark Geddes, who the man in black, apparently he walks up behind you while you're typing on your computer and he's like, "Oh, are you online? Be careful. The internet is an ocean and there are sharks in it." Which very weird. Also, again, why were you checking your email in a place where a creepy dude could walk up behind you?
You mean a Starbucks?
I guess. So let's see what happens next. He gets some more chat from Ludmilla. And she's like, "Hey, I don't want money. I swear I don't want money."
Yeah, and this is where things get weird.
I'm a sexy lady. What does a sexy lady want with money? Which,
everyone can follow this part.
Yeah. And then he said,
"We've all been here."
So Ludmilla asks for a picture of him. He gives her a picture of him. And then she's like, "Hey, can I have some of your hair?" And he's like, "How would I give you my hair?" And she's like, "Well, cut some off and then stick it in the..." Brandon, what's it called?
NSFTU port.
Yeah, now we're all in various ways computer scientists, coders, etc. We know our way around a computer. What do we think that stands for?
Not safe for touching underwear.
I thought it was not safe for user.
For the user.
I'm going to Google it. Okay. Maybe I can get an
answer. I'm very sure it's made up, Raul.
Are you? Yeah. Are you sure now?
But
there's an NFTU Orthodox.
Okay. Great, you cracked it. Apparently it's whatever. Oh,
damn it, Google's auto-correcting me.
Well, yes, because you're trying to Google something made up. So he cuts off some of his hair, and this port on the front of his computer that I think they describe later as looking a little like a mouth.
Yeah,
opens up.
Open a serration.
So. Yeah. And he sticks his, hair in it after having cut some off. And then it closes on his fingers and he bleeds a bit. And he's like, "Ludmilla, I'm bleeding." And she's like, "Why don't you stick your hand on the monitor and I will help you with the pain."
Your cheek, right?
Yeah. "And I will kiss you the better."
I kiss you.
Only, imagine sexy as opposed to us.
Not that we're not sexy.
Well, as we previously established, I look like a young Woody Allen, and you look like Ronald said Apu. I said a Bollywood star. Brandon looks... You know that obscure Brad Pitt movie, Overmind, where he plays the guy with the really big head?
Or the one with all the sex in that mansion? Wait, yeah. Was that a Brad Pitt movie, or was that someone else?
What we've established here is that Brandon looks... exactly like Nicole Kidman from Eyes Wide Shut.
Eyes Wide Shut, that's the one. With the sex mansion.
Which does not star Tom Cruise. Or which does not star Brad Pitt.
Also not Tom Cruise.
It does star Tom Cruise. Oh. It's Stanley Kubrick's last movie.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Yeah, no shit, it's got a sex mansion. That's not normal.
God, I wish I had a sex mansion.
Well, you could.
How?
Find a mansion, home invade it, and then start inviting people over for sex.
That part, that's the hard part.
That's the hard part.
The inviting people over for sex. Where do you, what, you just call the Yellow Pages?
I would assume at this point you...
What is the process for that?
You sell most of the things in the mansion you home invaded for money, and then use the money to hire prostitutes.
Oh. Where do you find a prostitute?
Craigslist.
Oh. You know, you're making this sound like a lot of work.
Now, well, sex mansions are a lot of work.
Like, you know, like...
And also, I am describing something involving about 30 felonies.
And then there's the upkeep.
Yeah, I mean, well, God, you home the utilities alone.
So you're clearly going to die in a standoff with the police at the end. So you don't got to worry about sweeping.
Might as well die happy, right?
Yeah. So, let's see, what's next? Oh, okay, so... Time goes on. Oh, he calls his niece and he's like, "Hey, my NTSFU port is weird." And she's like, "There's no such thing. That's weird." And then he gets a pop-up where they're like, "Hey, we'll give you cash for gold." And he's like, "I don't have any gold." And he's like, they're like, "Well, do you have fillings?" And he's like, "No, I've got amalgam, no gold." So then the computer decides that it wants him to give it his teeth. So it's like, "Hey, rip out your teeth and we'll give you and put them in the NTSFU port and we'll give you money." And he does it.
Yeah, it's like a doctor and a doctor.
No, that was later. Yeah, this one's the one where it's like an Irish. Yeah, this is the one where it's an Irish guy because everyone knows the Irish.
Oh, gold. They want gold.
Well, except it's not gold, it's like teeth.
Toothfairy.com or something.
Exactly. Yeah. Which is just. I don't know what that actually... Probably fetish porn, right?
Toothfairy.com?
Yeah.
I doubt it.
to the internet.
Shit, I'll check.
So, he gets some rusty pliers and rips a couple of his teeth out and puts them in this port.
Ooh, these rusty pliers taste all rusty. What did you expect?
No one has Toothfairy.com. I mean, you can buy it, but...
See, aren't you collecting weird domains?
I am. Let's see how much this one costs. Damn.
Well, I'd say this isn't thrilling radio, but on the other hand, that one My Brother and Me episode where they buy Teen Google is a classic. They just find that the website Teen Google is available, so they buy it. And then they're like, "Why aren't we rich? We own Teen Google." So, let's see here. Then his niece comes to visit him, and she's all like, "Hey, you said you'd bake me curry, which he did, and I brought yogurt, which we can eat with the curry," which I guess they're doing a different curry style than I'm familiar with, but whatever, that's not that important. And he apparently hasn't been outside in, like, weeks, and there's, like, empty, like, soda cans and shit everywhere, and he stopped shaving. So she's like, "Hey, what's going on?" And he's like, "Well, I found this group of, like, people who got ripped off by spam, and we're working together to track spamsters and get revenge on them, and I know I can trust them because I can see their eyes, because we've got webcams."
So only let him astray, so...
And so they're all... So he's talking to, like, a Japanese woman and a guy from Minnesota and
what's
so
her name?
On.
Misaki or something?
Oh, right. This happens earlier, actually, because when the teeth thing happens, he's all like, "I don't know if I could trust you." And then Misaki, the Japanese...
Megumi,
the Japanese woman he met through this internet...
Chat room.
Spam supporter thing, was all like, "No, you can totally trust him, dude. Look, I ripped out several of my teeth and the money was very useful." I love that line.
And she says, "It's good for your smile."
Yeah, that's right. And then when he does it and he's like, "Where's my money?" And the pop-up comes up, it's like, "You have, like, fun bucks or something."
Which means he got paid in Bitcoin, essentially. And like Bitcoin, it is without worth.
And then Megumi disconnects.
Yeah.
And he's like, "Megumi?
I mean, he should be going, Megumi? I got tetanus now." So then, but he's like, "I can trust these people because I can see their eyes." So now the internet's got his number because it knows that he'll fall for anything as long as there's a webcam. And in this thing, the internet is a malevolent supernatural entity. Kind of like it is in real life. Yeah, like you got
it. And then Gina calls him.
Yeah. And this, wait, which one is this one? Oh, right, he also gets a pop-up for a pirate thing, like torrents, except you have to pay for them, which is bullshit. Don't pay for torrents, kids, it's stupid. But it is
unless you're doing it through a VPN, you want to pay for the VPN.
Yeah, that one, but...
Or Usenet, you can pay for Usenet.
But that's the one, you said that one's not worth it anymore because it's flooded with fakes.
It is, unfortunately.
So anyways, he's all like, so this pirate pop-up for pirate scam comes up, and it's like, ah, you know, come get pillage copyright law, me matey. And it's amusing. I don't know. It was a thing that happened in the episode I'm recapping. Fuck you guys.
Yeah, so that happened.
Anyways.
So, who calls next row?
Okay. So, Megumi's...
Steve Bennett's the doctor.
There were a bunch of scams in this thing.
Yeah, they started going really fast.
Yeah, so, let's see. Gina called him about the NSFTU port.
Right. She calls him back, and she's like, hey, I checked. That NSFTU port does not exist. And then she starts talking to him. Let's just go to the climax. He falls for some more scams. I think the port doesn't eat anything else of his, but...
No, it doesn't. But, yeah. But, like, in between the scams, Gina calls, and she's like, you gotta disconnect the computer. Yeah.
Except she sounds like a sexy British woman, not...
What, Lawrence?
A dying chicken?
Anyway.
Like Cartman, maybe? Only trying to be a woman.
Also, but, like, after he's had a really bad cold. And been doing a 3-day meth bender. That's what it sounds like. Cartman after meth.
Pretty sick. Pretty sick.
Yeah.
That's pretty tight, yo.
I don't.
Yeah, so Gina keeps calling, which I assume is the actual correct way to say her name.
It's Gina.
Like I said, so Gina called a few times. No, actually, I think she was just on the call.
She Skypes him in at the end, and she's like, seriously, dude, turn off your computer. I don't know anything about this port, but it's dangerous. Which is a leap to make, because, like, I mean, there's ports on this laptop that I don't know about and that maybe you guys don't either. They're not, like, dangerous. Not that one. That's a USB, you daft fool. But there's, like, one over here that I'm not
even saying anything. He's looking.
But, like,
not that one, you fucking idiot.
Yeah. Fuck you, Bobo. Fuck you.
Okay, so where are we? We're at the port part.
Yeah, let's just finish this.
Gina's just like, you know, unplug your computer or you will die. And then he gets a pop up and it's like, we need an organ for your fucking cousin.
Yeah, you got a cousin in the States. It's a doctor from Texas, and it's very funny hearing a British person do a Texas accent because, you know, they don't know anything. British people in, about Texas.
Hey, what do they fucking know? Across the pond there.
Whatever. Oh, also, there's this recurring thing here on this episode where occasionally they'll play the spam song from Monty Python, which maybe means that this is supposed to be funny. We'll talk about that. But so he gets this pop-up where it's like, hey, you got a rich cousin in Texas. You know, don't worry that you've never heard of him. But we're pretty sure you're a match for him, despite not having access to your medical records. So,
fake doctor gave him.
Why would that other fake doctor have access?
Because it's spam.
There's holes in this story all the way through, Brandon.
I didn't say there wasn't.
So they're like, "Hey, why don't you let us take your kidney and like marrow and blood?" And he's like, "I don't know." And then the internet breaks for a little bit, and there's just, like, brief snippets from every spam and ad and thing he's heard on the entire, like, whatever, on the entire episode. Voyage. And then it starts, you know, the Monty Python spam song starts going, and it's like, spam, spam, you know, that thing. And then, apparently, he gets eaten by the NTSF port.
It starts like trying to do this. Like,
oh, right. Gina's all like, hey, Gina, god damn you. I hate you, Raul.
Yes.
I hate you more than anything for what you've done.
You were
to
saying
me.
Something about Gina, man. I don't know.
Gina shows up at this point in a Skype window, and she's like, seriously, dude, turn off your computer. It's dangerous. And then the computer's like, blocked. You know, you can't.
Attempted intrusion.
Yeah, and blocks it. And, you know, she kind of fades in and out, which suggests that the, you know, evil internet is kind of bad at the whole being the evil internet thing. Yeah, so anyways, and then all the internet breaks and all the spam ads play. And then Gina's like, Jim, leaving the, I mean, he's dead apparently.
No, because he's like, you know, he's like, no, I'm not going to do it.
Nah. I don't want to click it.
Yeah, and then he tries to unplug the computer.
Just do it, man.
And it doesn't work. and apparently the computer ate him.
Yes.
And then
it's pretty hot.
Mark Gatiss comes back and he's like, you know, Jim's got a website, but you shouldn't go to it because it's full of malware. So apparently this guy's afterlife was having to live on a shitty malware-infested website.
Or that, he had a lot of STDs. I mean, yeah. I don't know.
What? So you're saying that if a computer eats you and you've got STDs, they become malware when you're so...
I don't know. Dude, bust out your NSFT whatever port and we'll fucking see. After we feed you to it.
So, and that's the end of the episode. We find out, based on voice credits, the thing that was stalking him was literally called the Internet Shark, which is weird. A little too literal, but... So
was this one of the ones where they only had like an hour to do the whole thing?
No, this one they would have had more time. It's written by Kim Newman, who's actually a reasonably well-respected British author. He wrote like the Anno Dracula series. So I'm kind of surprised it's not better, frankly. I think the main problem is sort of that Jim is immensely stupid in a way that's not interesting, really.
No, it isn't.
So, now we're going to do, like, would you recommend this episode and so on. But first, let's have us a little debate. What do you guys, gentlemen, think? Is this episode supposed to be funny? I'm going to make the four case. Raul, why don't you take against? And then Brandon, you can decide.
It is obviously not meant to be funny because it was deeply terrifying.
You're bad at this. I'm not. Hey, Raul.
Listen, he got eaten by his computer.
You actually are supposed to be scared of weird supernatural stuff.
That is true.
And it doesn't get much weirder than your computer eats you through
fairly it's just small maybe I'm port. Too familiar. Well, apparently it got larger and larger.
Yeah, he does at one point say to Gina, God fucking damn you. That the problem he's having with it is that it's getting bigger. So apparently it's
dilating. What it was.
I hate you. I hate you all. You're trying.
It's just like the tooth movie, the teeth movie.
The what teeth movie?
The movie Teeth.
You haven't seen that.
No, I haven't, and I probably will never watch it.
But you're saying that this is just like that. You're saying that this thing where a man gets haunted and eaten by like an internet ghost?
Vagina.
Question mark. Is similar to... No.
With teeth.
Is
very similar to the movie Teeth.
It's got vagina and everything.
No, exactly. Maybe that's the lesson here. You know, like, vagina is actually the evil person.
She gave him the computer. She taught him how to use it.
Yeah, she fucking gave the computer.
She saw him clicking on spam, and she just kind of stepped away.
She let her uncle look at pornography when she did nothing. She's old. You know he's going to be into it. Old people love that shit.
Now, the only question we have to ask is, did China have a motive? I think she did. Because he had 40 grand pounds. You know, just sitting in his fucking checking account.
And we all know how much Gina loves pounds. I hate what you guys made me do.
You did it to yourself.
Look, seriously though, is this episode supposed to be funny?
No, I don't think so. Not at all.
I think the spam song and the fact that it's so, like, over...
But who would recognize the spam song? I didn't recognize it.
That's because you hate Monty Python.
I don't hate Monty Python.
Then why don't you recognize the spam song? It's a classic bit.
Just not... Did you recognize it?
Nope.
He doesn't hate Monty Python either.
You're clearly just doing this to fuck with me.
I genuinely didn't recognize it.
Where they're Vikings and they order spam and then they sing a song.
What movie or whatever is that from?
The TV series, Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Oh.
I never watched that.
Spam.
I wouldn't remember that.
Now that I'm saying the bit out loud, it sounds deeply stupid. I'll give you that. But it was very funny when I watched
maybe
it.
It's something a British person would recognize more readily than an American.
But I mean, it's still people singing an operatic song about spam as a man's being eaten by his
computer. Honestly, until you said they had sung that song, I didn't even remember that it was in it.
I don't know. I think that there's some dark comedy here, but it's not terribly well executed. I don't know. So
what dark comedy? Like the fact? Maybe you would laugh at like some of the obvious scams.
Yeah, a bit. The scams are a bit over the top, and
like genuine attempts at horror are not compatible with comedic pirate accents, for one. Like Captain Crunch isn't scary.
Not really, unless he's in your bedroom, which you know.
Well, then
some of us have experienced.
Then it depends on his mood, frankly. I hear if you catch him when he's feeling good, it can be quite a magical experience.
Oh yeah?
Yeah.
Where'd you hear that from?
Myself.
Well, actually from some fan fiction I read. I think it's called An Archive of Our Own. It awoke.
I feel like we're running into copyright issues here, too, now. Because you said Captain Crunch.
Oh, that was an amusing thing on the episode. She's like, hey, don't give financial information to anyone online. And he's like, what about this South American jungle book retailer? And it's clearly that it means Amazon, but they're like, we don't have copyright for Amazon, so they turn it into a joke about, you know,
that. How stupid Jim is.
Yeah, kind of. He is pretty dumb. I mean, I don't care what my computer says. I'm never feeding it my teeth.
But, I mean, how many of the other episodes in this series, have you listened to them?
Yeah, I've heard all of them. Although
are any of them funny?
Not really, but well, I don't think most of them are written by Kim Newman. His work is a little bit comedic, usually. I don't know.
Maybe they're going for the dark humor.
Also, I don't really remember a lot of the episodes, which kind of speaks to, again, what I said before, which is it's not a very good series because I don't remember most of the episodes. I don't know. So anyways, let's go ahead and give like fuller recommendations now. Would you recommend this episode to someone? I'm going to say... I don't know. It's really fucking weird, so maybe check it out on that count. But it's not like... The twist isn't as hilarious as it was in some of the previous ones. It moves very quickly, and it's only 30 minutes. So, I mean, if you've got the time, you might, and it's up on the BBC website or something, you might check it out. But I'm not going to, like, heartily recommend it to anyone. It's, like, a light recommend / light do not recommend, essentially, for me.
Yeah, it's a no for me. I didn't think it was exciting. I didn't think the twist was exciting. There wasn't that much sex in it.
Hey, would it have been the twist have been better
if he had gotten fucked by his computer?
What?
What? I thought that's the direction you were going with the hand motion you're making. I mean,
as soon as the laughter. Okay. Let the record show I was making no hand motion.
Overruled.
So, okay, would the episode have been better if they had made it more, like, obvious that the computer was actually eating him? Like, he'd be like, ah, I can't get my arm free and shit.
No.
I think that might have made the twist a little funnier, at least. Here it's pretty vague. Like, we think the computer ate him, but we're not 100%.
I don't know. It just didn't come across as creepy. Maybe it's just because spam isn't scary at all.
That's true. What did
you know?
I feel like it started out being funny because he was stupid, and then it got a little bit darker with the teeth thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how I feel about that transition. So I kind of agree with Lawrence that it's interesting, but I don't know that the whole thing was very sort of cohesive. Or
you're right. I think the teeth was kind of the climax almost.
Let me throw one more thing out there. This might be really scary to an old person who's actually scared of computers. Like, we know how computers work, and, I mean, I even know kind of, or at one point, knew how transistors work, so I could, like, theoretically know how a computer works
all
the way up.
Yeah, teeth aren't compatible with transistors.
Yeah. So I'm like, no, the computer isn't some mystery box to me where, like, anything could be lurking in there. I'm like, no, it's transistors, and if it ever gets menacing, you pour water on it, and it's dead forever.
You release the smoke.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, the new iPhone's supposed to be waterproof.
Well, then that...
What do you do then?
The iPhone isn't...
Boom.
The iPhone isn't scary because it's so small and easily blended.
It's not an iPhone Plus.
You can still blend that. That's why it's very important to always keep a fairly large blender in the house in case your phone turns on you. Okay. So, yeah. I think this is the first one I haven't, like, given much of a recommendation to.
This is your first week sell, huh?
Yeah.
Not a buy or even a hold.
Yeah, I'm just like, I guess if you found it lying around, pick it up.
And throw it away.
Well, no,
spit
I mean,
gum into it.
Look at it first and then throw it away, yeah.
I don't think it was worth 30 minutes. I mean, you could watch an episode of Futurama.
You could jerk off five times.
maybe six, depending.
That's how you got so much semen in your pants.
Damn it, that was a good joke, and now we've got
to... Now you got to leave it in.
Oh, yeah.
The timelines are converging.
You know?
The prophecy.
You know, we're at 42 minutes. I bet if I cut Rahul's maniacal cackling, it's actually only 20.
You like that?
It doesn't do it for me as hard as it used to, but it still could get me there.
Good.
Okay, so let's go around and... So we didn't like this episode very much. Can you guys recommend something else better than it? Brandon, anything at all?
You should watch the movie It Follows.
Yeah, that was a pretty good one.
That was a good one.
As far as improbable things menacing you, that one is much better.
Is that a scary movie?
Yeah.
Yeah, you should watch it.
No.
You do realize you recommended Dagon like two episodes ago.
Dagon was a good movie. You know?
It follows.
I'm just not going to watch it ever again. Unless I have all the lights in the world.
Pretty much.
And also someone has to be making me. Like if it was I get shot or I watch Dagon, I'll probably watch Dagon.
Depends on what kind of day I had.
Yeah. That's, yeah. And what they're going to shoot me with too. Because if I think it's survivable.
A harpoon?
Where are they going to shoot you? With the harpoon.
I mean, for you, probably in your vagina, considering it's your whole body.
What?
I'm sure where you're going.
That's not even an insult. It's just a really weird thing to say. Are you trying to call me a pussy?
I don't know, dude. It doesn't matter.
You really got to work a little harder before you say stuff, Rahul.
You think so?
Yeah, a little.
I don't know about that. I've gotten this far in life and I've put minimal thought into
it. He got you to say China.
Touche. So, Raul, you got anything?
No, I'll go last.
Okay.
I'll just recommend whatever he's having.
I should have put more thought. Okay, I'm going to recommend... It's an episode of Suspense. It's called Ghost Hunt. It's... has the distinction, I think, of being the first found footage thing ever made. It's the story of a guy who works for on a radio program and takes like a portable recorder into a haunted house to look for ghosts. And obviously this turns out to be a terrible idea. But it's pretty well done on its own, and it's very interesting because, again, I think it's the first time that there was a, you know, found footage style recording anywhere. Although, I mean, I've gotten into arguments on Wikipedia for this and lost them, but because they're like, it's not found footage because audio isn't footage. And I'm like,
says bitterly.
Yeah, whatever. I sobered up and stopped caring before I won the argument, which is how most of my Wikipedia edits go. Raul, you got anything?
So I don't watch scary movies, as you know.
Doesn't have to be a scary movie.
If you had read my bio, like that would be pretty obvious.
Your bio is just a picture of your dick. And I'm
that's
even...
my RedTube profile, which I didn't think you would. I don't know. I just watched Rogue One. That was good. Go watch that.
Okay. Mailbag segment, if you guys want. We do this thing. We don't have mail because we haven't released episodes yet, but we speculate about a question someone might ask us and then answer that.
Exactly how big is this vagina?
Okay. I am exercising my veto power on that one.
Well, I'm vetoing your veto. Boom. One.
Okay, zero, I guess, is the answer, because, I mean, I got a penis and no vagina.
Do you know that penises used to be vaginas? Or maybe it's vice versa.
It's that your balls used to be ovaries.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Okay, but, like, sort of serious question, I guess.
That was a serious question.
What was the first old-time radio show you ever heard?
Oh. My dad used to listen to, like, these ancient Sherlock Holmes tapes.
Oh, the ones with Basil Rathbone and Nigel Bruce?
Yes, it's weird that I remember the name Basil Rathbone, but oh, yes.
I mean, it's
that's
got
a really cool name.
Yeah, it's hard to forget that
also,
one.
Also, it's got bone in it, so you were all about
I'm
it.
I'm done. Yeah, I mean, I locked in my memory.
Yeah,
love you that. Also had an AIM handle that was, like, your printer's, like, letters and numbers.
Yes, I did.
Brandon?
Still remember it.
This was the first one.
Okay. Not a good introduction.
No.
There are better ones. And mine, I actually, weirdly, I think mine might have been the Sherlock Holmes ones, too.
Weird. They're famous, aren't they?
Yeah, they also played the characters in films. I mostly remember Nigel Bruce trying to sell me war bonds and being disappointed that I couldn't buy any. But, yeah, we had these tapes and so on. I got into it more heavily. Like, we were always listening to audiobooks and so on in the car because we always had fairly long commutes. But I got into listening to old-time radio on my own pretty heavily in, like, 2006, 2007. You guys remember, like, Bear Share?
I don't think so.
Yeah.
Or LimeWire.
LimeWire.
Yeah. They were the same.
Kazaa.
Yeah. Back then, they were how you would trade, like, files back and forth. And I was really into H.P. Lovecraft, so I kept, like, getting H.P. Lovecraft audiobooks off them. And I got a episode of the CBS Radio Mystery Theater called The Horror Inside, I think it was called, that was labeled as an H.P. Lovecraft mystery. It wasn't. It was just some bullshit about a psychic who turned out to be evil. But he didn't,
as they do.
Yeah, but he didn't know he was evil. But, you know, I started downloading more after that because they were interesting, and that's kind of, I've kind of been listening ever since. Hmm. Not a great story. I'm sorry. Whatever. You guys should write in and have us say better stories. Anyways, plugs. Final things. Raul, you got anything to plug, or is this...
Yeah, check out my moon colony. It's pretty sick. I'm going to move there next week.
That's good. Brandon?
No.
Okay. So for the... In Bad Time Radio tradition, listeners, Brandon would like you to fuck off and die. Signing off.
Like to recommend an episode of Old Time Radio for us to listen to, send us a question for the mailbag, or a pedantic correction, you can reach us at radiobadtime@gmail.com. Our theme music is Finger in the Bottle by We Ashore Dedicated off their album No Ski Here Okie Sap. Thanks so much for listening.
Well, I was gonna get rich. Finger in the bottle.